This is the Quality News Network. A meeting between the junta chief of Myanmar and a UN envoy ended today without a clear decision if the violence in the capital city will end soon. But witnesses say slightly fewer troops were on the streets of Yangon today. The head of Blackwater Security is rejecting charges that his staff was out of order when they opened fire in a crowded square, killing 11 Iraqis. Blackwater is being investigated by the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee. Washington lawmakers are taking up legislation today requiring President Bush to show a concrete plan for a withdrawal of troops from Iraq. A Washington Post ABC News poll shows only about 25% of Americans support the administration's $190 billion war funding request, while 70% want the proposed allocation reduced. British Prime Minister Gordon Brown is visiting Iraq for the first time. He's meeting with authorities to discuss a drawdown of Britain's 5,000 troops in Iraq's southern province of Basra, 1,000 of them by Christmas. For only the second time in 50 years, the leaders of South and North Korea met today for peace talks. At the top of their agenda, Pyongyang's dismantlement of its nuclear weaponry program. In Canada, a federal judge acquitted three doctors, a Red Cross official, and a U.S. drug maker of criminally infecting Canadians with AIDS and hepatitis C contaminated blood. More than 3,000 Canadians died of the tainted blood in the late 1980s and early 1990s. The Canadian government has awarded $1 billion to the victims' families. Several press groups have filed suit against the federal government asking that the investigation into the collapse of Utah's Crandall Canyon coal mine be made public. Six miners and three rescuers were killed in the August mining accident. Madison Square Garden and its chairman were ordered to pay over $11 million to former New York Knicks executive Anucha Brown Sanders. Sanders sued the company for sexual harassment by Knicks coach Isaiah Thomas. In Minnesota, opening arguments begin today in the first trial of a consumer accused of copyright violation for illegally sharing songs on a file-sharing network. You're listening to the Quality News Network. We have science and business news coming up next. Now this.
Did you know 1 billion adults around the world cannot read? Two-thirds are women, many prohibited from learning. The rate of illiteracy is declining, but the number who can't read has been increasing. These are more than just numbers, they're people. They're your friends, neighbors, and even your family. Consider these numbers. In America, if you didn't speak English in your home, you're 44% more likely to be reading below the most basic level. If you didn't complete high school, the chances are good that you can't read. 85% of prisoners are illiterate, as are the kids who wind up in juvenile court. Here are the facts. If you can read, you can learn, get a better job, and make more money. If you can't read, you can't learn, you can't find a good job, you can't make a decent living. Choose smart. Learn to read. If you're out of school, find a literacy program through your local library.
This message on literacy has been brought to you as a public service by the Quality News Network. For more information, please contact your local library.
A hurricane team at Colorado State University increased its estimate of the number of tropical storms in the 2007 Atlantic hurricane season. Forecasters say the 2007 season will have 17 storms instead of 15. They predict there will be a total of 7 hurricanes this year. According to a report by the Associated Press, lab accidents involving deadly viruses, poisonous chemicals, and contaminated animals are on the rise. The number of laboratories approved to handle deadly substances has doubled in the last 3 years. Nokia will pay $8.1 billion to acquire digital map maker Navtech. Navtech's maps are used primarily in automobile navigation systems. eBay announced it will take a $1.43 billion charge as the result of its acquisition of internet phone company Skype. In addition, Skype's CEO will leave his active position. Home sales hit a record low in August, according to the National Association of Realtors. Many would-be home buyers are having difficulty getting loans, and economists say the housing market shows no signs of improving soon. Gold is trading down at this hour at $17.80. Light sweet crude oil is trading down at $80.05 a barrel, and on Wall Street today, the Dow Jones is down 43.65, the NASDAQ is up 6 points, and the S&P 500 is flat. You're listening to the Quality News Network.
And now, from Washington, the Inside Scoop. All the news the government does not want you to hear. Now, here's your host on the Inside Scoop, Mark Levine.
Good afternoon, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. I have titled today's show, The Fine Wine of Clarence Thomas. I hope you caught that it is not the fine wine of Clarence Thomas, the fine wine of Clarence Thomas. The man does give a fine wine. It is a top-of-the-line wine, and it's a man who continues to wine throughout his existence. Clarence Thomas, of course, is whining, W-H-I-N-I-N-G, in his new book, My Grandfather's Son, which he got paid $1.5 million. And as Robert, a blogger, has pointed out on my blog, he is one of the very, very few sitting Supreme Court justices ever to write a book. He wants to know if there's some rule against it. No, apparently there is no rule against it, none other than sort of basic decency. Most Supreme Court justices don't write about themselves while they're on the court. Of course, I guess he plans to die in office, so he'll have no time to write the book. But Clarence Thomas's complaint is that he isn't respected, that black people call him an Uncle Tom. That's not just a play on his name, Clarence Thomas, but because they feel he has sold out. He is a person who received affirmative action and yet wants to pull the ladder up and deny affirmative action to other African Americans. By the way, speaking of Tom and Thomas, there's another Thomas coming on the air, a guy by the name of Jack Thomas coming on Bob Kincaid's show after I'm through today. Jack Thomas is a right-winger, and he claims that liberals are unfairly attacking poor Bill O'Reilly, the man who himself learned to his shocking surprise that blacks in a restaurant act just like whites do. He really had his eyes open there. Anyway, Bob Kincaid is taking on this right-winger. He's bringing a guy from Media Matters to take him on, to sort of ambush him a little. You won't want to miss that after the broadcast. I'm a little jealous. I mean, you folks know I have right-wingers on my show all the time. I do enjoy taking them apart. It'll be fun to hear Bob take him apart as well. But Jack Thomas, of course, is not the most famous Thomas. The most famous Thomas is Clarence, who does seem to have a perennial chip on his shoulder. Whether in his book, My Grandfather's Son, or in the 60 Minutes interview, or just generally, Clarence Thomas really feels oppressed. And it's very interesting what he's made of it. No one can deny the intense racism that exists in America or that existed in Clarence Thomas's early life. But he reacts differently from most African Americans, from most Americans, shall we say, who, when they see racism and oppression, want to fight against it. His idea, join the oppressor and make it easier, in fact, for racism to occur. I want to talk the whole hour about Clarence Thomas, but I want to encourage you to join in the discussion. You may have your own views about him as I go through his life, his work, and his complaint. And I want to encourage you from the outset to call in at 877-4-HEAD-ON. So what do we know about Clarence Thomas? We know that he was born in a very poor, in a shack in Pinpoint, Georgia, that his father left home when he was two. He was raised by his grandfather, and he talks with pride about how strict his grandfather was, about how he made him work out in the fields, about how he gave him all kinds of tough love and made him work very hard. And it's Thomas's contention, I think, that African Americans today don't have enough tough love. They're not made enough to work hard. They seem to think they can get everything for free. Now, he doesn't quite say that. He says basically that he wants all this, this toughness. For him, he doesn't address his critics' arguments. He calls them silly, which is a great way of avoiding, in fact, the complaint. Instead, he complains mostly about the hearing, which I remember very well to this day. Indeed, I watched every word of it back in 1991 when he had his confirmation hearing. One reason I watched so closely at that time is that I was at Yale Law School at the time as a student, and Clarence Thomas and Anita Hill, along with Bill Clinton and some others, were all students at Yale at that time. And one of the things I learned, in fact, while talking to my professors, including a few old-timers who actually had been around to teach Clarence Thomas, was that one of the things that Thomas and five other students would do, and this was right before Yale let women in, I guess that shouldn't surprise you, but he and five male students used to run what they called the First Amendment Society. What was the First Amendment Society? They would show porn in the Yale basement. Porn was not available, of course, on the internet at that time. You had to go out to stores to get it. There weren't even the videotape stores. About the only way to really see pornography was to go to the movie theaters or to bring a reel to you. So Clarence Thomas and five other male students brought pornography to Yale Law School. Apparently, as I said, the practice was discontinued when women joined the school. Why do I bring this up? Do I have anything against porn? I don't. I actually think pornography is free speech. And frankly, if people want to watch porn, you know, whatever, it's that's their business. I bring it up because, of course, Clarence Thomas dismissed all of Anita Hill's talk of sexual harassment, all her claims that he would talk about sex and Long Don Silver and all that kind of stuff and pubic hairs and Coke cans and all these details that, frankly, are too weird for anyone to make up. He called this all a high-tech lynching. He suggested that Anita Hill, in fact, was actually some tool of some white oppressor, in fact, and that she was out to get him, I guess, because he was black. Now, why Anita Hill, who's also African-American, would be out to get Clarence Thomas because he's black really doesn't make any sense to me. It didn't make sense then. It doesn't make sense now. But I decided to let you know one little tidbit, one little inside scoop that I happen to know from my education, which is that Clarence Thomas happened to really like pornography. Not that there's anything wrong with it, but there is something wrong with committing perjury before a Senate Judiciary Committee in claiming that all of this was just one big fat lie. He never did distinguish and say what Anita Hill said was true, what she said was false. In general, when you've committed a crime or when you've done something wrong and someone accuses you of it, it's better just to give this blanket, oh, no, nothing. It's just all false. Because if you go through the details, then people realize, well, you're kind of hemming and hawing and hedging here. But I want to explore, go back to 1991, tell you what I knew then and what I know now. Some things maybe you haven't heard before. Like I said, I had a bit of the inside scoop. I was at the law school where so many people knew both Clarence Thomas and Anita Hill. But also talk in general about Clarence Thomas, why he has a chip on his shoulder, and what any of this has to do with affirmative action and with American policy. He also claims it was all due to abortion, which is really interesting conclusion, and we can talk about that too. So give me a call. Let me know what you think about Clarence Thomas, 877-4-HEAD-ON, 877-443-2366. We'll be right back after this.
We know you want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right. We do.
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95.
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at citynet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention $24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit citynet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
America's most dangerous investigative reporter, Greg Palast, joins Bob Kincaid for a bit of conversation radio.
But I have to tell you, this is such a pleasure to be able to actually lay it out.
Greg, anytime you want to lay it out, okay? We're reinventing things here. We call it conversation radio. We're very serious about that. And anytime you've got one of those that's a bit of a Gordian knot, bring it here, please, because there are people hungry for information and who are willing to, you know, this is not the Fox audience. We actually sit and think about stuff.
I like it. That's why I like this. It's the head-on radio network as opposed to the head-off television network that we've been suffering with. So I do appreciate your work, and let's set up another time. Take it easy, Bob.
Indeed. Take care, Greg. Thank you so much.
Head-on with Bob Kincaid, weeknights, 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern, here on America's Liberal Voice, the Head On Radio Network.
Got a pony dog craving for a fire.
Janine Marks, a 12-year-old, was fairly normal. She spent a lot of time online. One day, she met a new friend. The new friend had the same problems at home. They liked the same bands. They worried about the same subjects in school. They promised to keep each other's secrets. They wished they went to the same junior high. The new friend had good news. He said he was going to be in Janine's area one Saturday. He thought it would be amazing if they could just hang out, go to the mall. Janine agreed. The new friend didn't want parents messing this up. Janine showed up alone. So did her new friend, who wasn't in junior high, wasn't nice, and wasn't a 14-year-old boy. Last year, one in five children was sexually solicited online. Help delete online predators. Call 1-800-THE-LOST or visit cybertipline.com to learn how to protect your kids' online life. A message from the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children and the Ad Council.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. Justice Clarence Thomas has a book coming out, My Grandfather's Son. He's been on 60 Minutes, and he has given us a fine whine about all the injustice that he has suffered. And I think before we refute that whine, before we go through the details of his complaint, we should know what the complaint is, right? Let's hear what Clarence Thomas has to say. I don't know if any of you heard the 60-minute interview, but basically it goes something like this, that his critics were out to destroy him, that Anita Hill was part of that conspiracy to destroy him, that it was all about abortion, he says at one point. And there's no question that he's right, that both pro-life and pro-choice have very closely watched the Supreme Court. But in his view, the pro-choice advocates declared that he had to go, and they set up Anita Hill to take him down. Apparently, there were racists as well in Justice Thomas's fine whine, because, as you well know, he called the entire thing a high-tech lynching, and he specifically brought up that basically if they can't hang him, then they'll take him down in this way, bringing up a century of oppression of black people in America after slavery was gone, Jim Crow laws. He brought up the specter of lynching, the specter of hanging. And he says, in effect, look, liberals don't want free-thinking blacks. They can't handle a black person who dares to think outside the box, so they decided to take him down. And what else did he complain about? He also said that he went to Yale Law School, but even he wasn't clear whether he admitted that he got in on affirmative action or anything, but he says that he graduated in the middle of his class and he didn't get a job, and he blames that not on racism but on affirmative action. And in fact, he has such a chip on his shoulder that he keeps his Yale Law degree down in the basement along with a 15-cent sticker on it, because he considers that degree worth about 15 cents. He says he doesn't know whether George Bush Sr. hired him because he was black or not, the fact that he was 43 and had been on the bench 1 year and was the only one rated not qualified by the American Bar Association when he was chosen apparently didn't enter into his calculations. But even though he says he got 10 nominations in 5 years under Reagan and Bush, even though he says, well, he doesn't think that any Americans need affirmative action anymore, that they just have to do what his grandfather did, basically pull himself up by his bootstraps. So that's Clarence Thomas's complaint. That's his whine. Let's see how much of it rings true. Let's explore. Let's go through the details of his life and explore how much he has a right to complain. Why, indeed, is Clarence Thomas so angry 16 years after he was nominated and confirmed on the court by a vote of 52-48? Let me just say on the side posts that the Democrats did not filibuster. They could have. They did not filibuster his nomination at all. They could have done so. Today, as you know, the Republicans insist to take 60 votes in the Senate to this and 60 votes in the Senate to this. You want to end the war in Iraq? Sorry, take 60 votes. You want to stop hate crimes? Oh, sorry, takes 60 votes. You want to allow the District of Columbia, the people of the District of Columbia, Americans living in Washington, D.C., to have democratic rights, a right to a vote in Congress, even in the House alone? The same, not even the same, but some partial rights that Americans have? Should these Americans have democracy? Yeah, I got to have 60 votes. That's the standard when Republicans are in the minority. Got to have 60 votes. Well, Clarence Thomas, of course, the Democrats allowed it to go to the floor and didn't require 60 votes. They let it be done on a majority. And his 52-48 victory is one of the closest in modern times. So who is Clarence Thomas? Well, I give him credit to the extent that he was a poor kid growing up in, I'm sure, a very racist part of the country in Pinpoint, Georgia. Hard life, very poor. Grandfather raised him. Clearly he had a difficult time. And I give him credit, I do, for having survived that. But the question is, when you have survived hardship, why would he want to deny his fellow Americans, his fellow African Americans, the same ladders that he had? What's going on in his psyche? And let me suggest to you that the chip on his shoulder really is affirmative action. Clarence Thomas would not be so angry, I contend, if he didn't truly feel at the bottom of his heart and the bottom of his soul that he wasn't qualified to be there in the first place. Because if he was qualified, if he didn't need affirmative action, and he didn't think blacks needed affirmative action, okay, he'd oppose it. But he wouldn't be so angry, now would he? He'd just slough it off. He'd laugh. He'd say, you know, I didn't need affirmative action. Nobody does. He could make that argument. The same is true with Anita Hill. If this was all just a clear lie, he could slough it off and say Anita Hill was crazy. He doesn't do that. What is the truth of Clarence Thomas? Well, most scholars think he did get into Yale Law School based in part on affirmative action, on trying to reach out to a poor black kid from the South, and I have no problem with that. He distinguished himself by hard work. He got in the middle of his class. And if anyone doubts the power of affirmative action, they need only look at Clarence Thomas's story. One could argue he wasn't qualified, but then he apparently worked very hard and survived in the middle of his class, the average Yale law student. So clearly, the decision to let him in was a good one. It helps to diversify. It helps to teach privileged white kids about the other half of America, and he did well. He didn't fail out. So why is he so angry? Well, apparently upon graduation he had trouble getting a job. Now, this is where Clarence Thomas learns, I think, that getting a job in America isn't only about merit. In fact, sometimes it's not much about merit at all. Sometimes it's about who you know. And sometimes it's about racism. Bob Kincaid and I will tell you that getting a job in radio has never been about a meritocracy. Every single host on the horn is a pretty damn good radio host. But we know, you know, the conservatives own the radio waves. They get to decide who gets there. The same's true in the job market. Anyone who's been in the job market knows. America is not a meritocracy. It should be. I support a meritocracy. I support capitalism in that sense. I always think that America needs to be a good mix of socialism and capitalism. I would not want pure socialism, but I wouldn't want pure capitalism either. But some capitalism is good. We should have a meritocracy. We don't. People get hired based on who they know a lot in America. Now, illegal jobs, a lot of times it is based on merit, but not always. So let's just say there was some racism out there. That wouldn't surprise me. To prevent Clarence Thomas from getting a job. Now, how should that make a thinking person react? To know that racism, or just nepotism, kept him from getting a job. In fact, I think a lot of the racism in America, the large racism, the systemic racism, isn't the kind that you see in General Louisiana. It isn't a bunch of ignorant yahoos with nooses on the back of their truck. Not that those yahoos aren't dangerous. The Ku Klux Klan is very dangerous. But I think the systemic racism in this country is more like nepotism. Who do you hire for a job? You hire your friends, uncles, cousins, ex-girlfriend, right? You hire someone you know, someone you've heard of, someone who's recommended to you. And because America remains a segregated country, not a lot of whites got a lot of black friends. Indeed, that's one of the reasons why we have affirmative action, why we have diversity in colleges and law school to begin with, to help whites and blacks interact with each other. So you do hire your law school classmate. So you do hire the person you work with, even if you live in a lily white neighborhood and they live in an all black neighborhood. So what do you do with racism? Well, I think affirmative action is a great way to fight it. Clarence Thomas, however, took that anger and turned it inward and decided he was going to please the bosses. He was going to hang out, not just with Ronald Reagan and George Bush, but with Strom Thurmond, the segregationist himself, who helped introduce him at his confirmation hearing. He would go and he would join the segregationists, and that would show him. Show who what? Could it be that Clarence Thomas's chip on his shoulder is really just a huge weight of guilt? We'll talk about that after the break. If you want to join in, please do. Tell me if you think I'm right or wrong. What do you think about Clarence Thomas? 877-4-HEAD-ON, 877-443-2366. We'll be right back after this.
You're listening to the Head On Radio Network.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at headonradionetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
Headonradionetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at headonradionetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
It wasn't exactly planes, trains, and automobiles on Head On with Bob Kincaid.
This is what the Bush Administration Justice Department didn't want you to see back in 2001.
they took out and they huffed the marker a little bit, and then they went, oh, cool. And they wiped out the name where it says, the plane was chartered either by the Saudi Arabian royalty family or Osama bin Laden. Somebody's got to call up and say, good afternoon. Thank you for calling Ryan International Flights. How may I help you?
Hello. This is Osama bin Laden, and I would like to rent a Boeing 727. Do you have one handy?
Oh, just a moment. Let me check. It's a Mr. bin Laden wants to know if we got a 727. Do we, Harry, do we have a 727?
Yeah, we got a 727 just sitting there on the lot. Going cheap.
There's nothing here. Nothing to look at. Keep moving. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. The, you know, the 6 foot 7 inch Arab with the portable dialysis machine and the white robes.
Somebody's trying.
Head On with Bob Kincaid, weeknights, 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern, only on the Head On Radio Network.
What would happen if you didn't follow the established path? If you did the unexpected? Would you feel scared? Proud? Relieved? Could you explain that helping the people of Peru improve their own community would also have an effect on your own? Or assisting an entrepreneur in Ukraine to launch her small business. Or creating a support group in Malawi for children orphaned by AIDS. What if you established your own path? One that others might follow. Would you rather make your own way? Or spend your life saying, what if? Life is calling. How far will you go? Peace Corps. Find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or go to peacecorps.gov.
From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. The title of today's show is The Fine Wine of Clarence Thomas, and I emphasize the H in wine, because it is indeed a fine one. This man, with so many chips on his shoulder, decided he was going to, if you can't beat the oppressor, join the oppressor. So what does he do? He takes a job with John Danforth, Republican in Missouri, and John Danforth recognizes what he has on his hands, an African-American who is against helping African Americans. Wow. That's an unusual thing, and just the kind of person the Republicans are looking for. So his rise is meteoric. For all his complaints about his trouble getting an initial job out of Yale Law School, he, as I said, gets 10 nominations in 5 years. At least that's what he said on 60 Minutes. And quickly, he becomes head of the EEOC, the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. Now think how valuable this is for Republicans. Republicans want to make sure that the nation's civil rights laws are not enforced. Ronald Reagan famously wanted to let them expire. They wanted to make sure that blacks who are discriminated against by white racists do not get any recourse. How better to do that than to have an African American turn down all those other African Americans? Much as, one might say, the House Negro in slavery era was used by white people to turn down the requests of the slaves. Heck, even the Nazis would take Jews and under threat of death make them make decisions about life and death for other Jews. Clarence Thomas was called, and is called, Uncle Tom by African Americans. Uncle Tom, of course, is the famous character in the book Uncle Tom's Cabin, where you have the evil white slave master, Simon Legree. This is the famous book by Harriet Beecher Stowe, of course, anti-slavery novel. And you have African Americans, black slaves, who recognize that life is difficult and decide to co-opt to join the master and save themselves at the expense of other oppressed African Americans. And let me suggest to you that Clarence Thomas is angry, because you have to be self-conflicted to serve that role. If you are serving the oppressor, who you recognize is the oppressor, who has oppressed you, and helping him oppress others to save yourself, you've got to be conflicted to be a human being. Let me suggest to you that that indeed is the source of his anger. And I'm going to get to the famous Anita Hill hearings and my inside scoop on that in just a few minutes. But first, let me go to Malin, who's waiting on the phone patiently for me. Malin, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Hi, Mark. I remember those days very well when I ran a bakery at the time, and we had the radio on like every minute of those hearings was on. I don't know how long it ran during the week, I guess, quite a while. And, you know, I remember listening to Rush Limbaugh during that time, and you know, he had quite an influence on the American people's attitude towards this. And I know Rush Limbaugh is not really part of this problem or this part of the story, and yet he is part of the story because I think he had an influence in a lot of things that went on during that time, a period of transition, and it just goes to show how. Well, the pornography thing alone shows the hypocrisy of his. I don't know whether he's ever made judgments on pornography, but it just goes to show that the people are infallible. The people that are in the
The only reason I bring it up, and actually normally I would consider that kind of thing to be someone's personal, it's personal. I don't think, you know, I would never bring up whether a leader, you know, it's legal, and I frankly think most pornography is relatively harmless. I do have problems with certain kinds of extreme pornography, like snuff films and things like that, which is or child pornography. But in general, you know, Playboy is pretty harmless. And but the only reason I bring it up is because his strong denials. That you know, nothing she says is true. This is all a high-tech lynching just to show that actually, you know, there's backup for what Anita Hill was saying.
Well, as those days, I used to listen to Rush Limbaugh because there was no one else, just right-wing stations in New York to listen to. Lynn Samuels was the last resort.
Not much has changed in 16 years, Mylon, but go ahead.
but I mean, he was very influential in her treatment by the public, I think.
Sure, absolutely.
He swayed a lot of people in towards him and against her.
Well, let me tell you what I know about Anita
I have
Hill.
A person,
go ahead.
I have a what? Pardon?
No, go ahead. You first. Go ahead.
I have a personal grudge with Rush Limbaugh because my father and I basically stopped talking after my father started listening to him because we didn't agree on anything after that.
Interesting.
And why he listens to him is because he's the same age as I am. But the hypocrisy thing is what gets me about how for affirmative action is what I was saying is the basic hypocrisy.
Well, he's hypocritical for a number of
reasons. All right, to help him get into school, but
right.
Nobody else really needs it now.
Exactly. He's hypocritical for a number of reasons. It's interesting to me because Rush Limbaugh, of course, is a massive hypocrite himself, someone who has attacked drug users when he himself was high all the time on his particular drugs. But let me tell you, Melon, what I know about Anita Hill, and I know this because, like I said, I have a bit of the inside scoop. I went to a law school where both Clarence Thomas and Anita Hill attended, and here's what her professors said about Anita Hill. She was extremely quiet in class. She was someone who did not really speak up at all unless that was called on. She was known as being very smart and studious, although very shy. She was, or is, the 14th child of 14 in an extremely religious, conservative Oklahoma family. Anita Hill is a Republican. This is something that's virtually never talked about. I don't know if she still is today, but I know that at the time, up through 1991, she was a Republican. She was a quiet, studious, very shy student that frankly many felt, although she did well in school, not many of her classmates knew her because she was so shy. The idea that Anita Hill concocted some enormous conspiracy to harm Clarence Thomas, you know, the black man, even though she's black. It's so preposterous. It's an amazing thing. Did they think that somebody put her up to it? If so, why would she do it? She used to work with the man for 10 years. What possible motivation could she have?
If she was a Republican, there would have been no... Who would have wanted to enter into that situation? I can't understand.
Well, she was completely raked over the coals. I mean, look at a woman like Monica Lewinsky. I felt very sorry for her. You know, I was going to say, some people felt sorry for Monica Lewinsky, but Monica Lewinsky put herself in that situation. Anita Hill was pure victim. She was victimized by Clarence Thomas for 10 years. Then she is.
By the press as well.
Well, the press comes later. So she's first victimized, I mean, because she was sexually harassed for 10 years working for him at the EEOC. Then, how does this come out? The FBI interviews her and asks her to tell the truth under oath about Clarence Thomas, because they do this kind of check for anybody. Anytime you get a security clearance, and I've had friends of mine get security clearances themselves, they go and they ask you questions. Has this person ever broken the law? Have you ever seen this person do something you consider, you know, ethically problematic? She was required to tell the truth to these, in effect, police officers. It's a crime to lie to police officers. She told the truth. She was told it would be confidential. It was not kept confidential. Again, now maybe you can complain about or not complain about whoever leaked it, and if you want to bring that up, fine. But in terms of Anita Hill, she did absolutely nothing to make that public. And that's another reason why we can believe her. Because if she were out to destroy Clarence Thomas, she would have been giving interviews right and left. She came because she was subpoenaed. She was forced under oath to testify and to tell the truth. And what did she say? Clarence Thomas, you know, raped her. She didn't say that it makes some extreme charge. She said something that is so weird, you know, the pubic hair on the Coke can.
Yeah,
and so specific.
It would have been hard to make up a story that stupid.
Yeah, long dong silver. I mean, the things she said were so specific that it has the ring of truth. And I have to tell you this. And this is the first time I've mentioned this in public. The dean of Yale Law School, a man by the name of Guido Calabresi, was the dean then. He was a professor back at the time of Anita Hill and Clarence Thomas. He told a number of students that he knew Anita Hill and he knew Clarence Thomas and he knew Anita Hill was telling the truth, and that Clarence Thomas, with his blanket denials, he felt was lying. I, along with five other students, marched into Dean Calabresi's office and said, "Why did you tell us this? Why aren't you telling the press this?" And Guido, and he let us call him Guido, that was the kind of dean he was hemming and hawing and saying, "Well, I really don't think I should take a public stand." Let's face it, Dean Calabresi wanted to be on the Second Circuit. And he knew that if he were to publicly tell the truth, which was that he believed Anita Hill and he disbelieved Clarence Thomas, that would likely prevent him from getting the Republican votes he needed to be on the Second Circuit, where he now sits today. I can tell you, Guido Calabresi may be a justice someday under a Democratic president. After all, if Hillary Clinton's president, she went to Yale, he was a professor of hers, he's a very intelligent man. But on this day, he put his own political expediency above telling what he knew to be true, which was he could be a character reference for Anita Hill. And that's another part of the story that never made the press.
Above all else, I think that the Republican administration at that time, come hell or high water, was going to get a black on a Supreme Court, and it really didn't matter if what happened. That was going to happen.
But there really are so few black conservatives that you can count them on two hands. There are extremely few out there. And when I come back, I want to talk about why there are so few black conservatives. Melon, you can stay on with me if you want, or...
No, I'll let you go, Mark. It was nice talking to you.
Well, thanks for calling in. I do appreciate it. I'm going to come back after the break and talk about the rarity that is black conservatives and why it is that affirmative action helped Clarence Thomas, but he doesn't want it to help anybody else. 877-4HEAD-ON. You can call just like Madeline did. I encourage you to. We'll be right back after this.
This is the Head On Radio Network.
Harry Potter has given us all a unique glimpse at education the way it ought to be. Never once do Harry and his Hogwarts friends talk about skipping class, ducking tough instructors, waiving requirements, or shirking responsibilities. That perspective, be practical, get it the easiest, fastest, cheapest way you can, is what J.K. Rowling terms the Muggle approach to education. We're Concord University, and do we have a deal for you? At Concord, education's different than anywhere else around. There's a reason that Concord students get the best jobs, are sought out by the best medical, graduate, and law schools in the land. It's no wonder that Concord has been cited by U.S. News & World Report and by the Wall Street Journal. Where do I sign up? At Southern West Virginia's version of Track 9 and 3 Quarters, all you have to do is believe, and believe in yourself. Concord University, an education you can put to work. 1-888-384-5249.
I'm Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive magazine, with my progressive point of view, which you can also grab off our website over at progressive.org. This Blackwater scandal tells you almost everything you need to know about what's wrong with the Bush-Cheney administration, the gonzo attitude, the wanton violence, the impunity, plus privatization gone mad. Why in the world has it taken the mainstream media 4 years to wake up to the fact that the U.S. ambassador himself is being guarded by mercenaries? The Pentagon has a $700 billion annual allowance, yet it can't find in that budget the money to pay for U.S. soldiers to guard the ambassador. It's even crazier when you consider that somehow the U.S. government is finding the money to pay Blackwater, a company headed by an ultra-right-winger, many times over what it would cost for uniformed soldiers to be doing the job. But this is Dick Cheney's dream come true. Privatize every possible function of the U.S. government so that his buddies in business can rake in the dough in an environment where they're accountable to no one. Blackwater has used this impunity to engage in almost 200 unwarranted shootings, including killing the bodyguard of Iraq's vice president and slaying at least 11 Iraqi civilians just last month. Meanwhile, the State Department has covered much of this up. Blackwater and Bush and Cheney and Condoleezza Rice are giving all of us a black eye. I'm Matt Rothschild, and that's how I see it.
Are you fed up with the Democrats and Republicans, tired of the catfighting between the left and the right? You'll want to listen to America Back on Track. America Back on Track from the Quality News Network is a true alternative, a new national radio voice for people who put America before political party and special money interests. America Back on Track is for people who want to restore the values that made our country great: quality, integrity, purpose, compassion, humility, and strength. America Back on Track delivers the news and perspective, engaging listeners with intelligent interviews and stimulating commentary. Wouldn't you rather hear smart people talking about new directions instead of ideologues pushing their propaganda? Tune in to America Back on Track weekdays at noon Pacific right here or online at thequalitynewsnetwork.com. America Back on Track, our ticket to a healthy and productive future.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. Just a few minutes left. So where are we now with Clarence Thomas? The people in the chat room were correct to point out that Anita Hill wasn't the only person that Clarence Thomas sexually harassed. These things tend to come usually harassers don't just harass one person, but they harass several. And what does it matter at the end of the day? I mean, how does it compare, say, with Bill Clinton and the things that he did? Because many liberals complain, and I complain, that Bill Clinton has been railroaded. Well, what's the difference? One, I think, is that Bill Clinton's trysts were consensual, whereas Clarence Thomas's were not. Both men lied about it. It is true. But I think that when a man is running the EEOC, the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, which takes care of not just racial issues but also sexist issues as well, he should be even more attuned to what should or should not be done. I guess I think that most of this is a private matter, except that if you're asked about it under oath, you need to tell the truth. That was the Republicans' complaint about Bill Clinton. They don't seem to apply the same standard to Clarence Thomas. In any case, he is now on the court, and in his most famous recent opinion, which all but overturns the famous decision Brown versus Board of Education, he argues in that opinion that a white kid who is forced out of a school that's 99% white in order to give a black kid that seat, it suffers the same indignity as a black kid forced to go to an all-black school. That he makes the argument. That's what he says. Read the opinion. He actually argues that making space in a 100% white school for a black kid for diversity reasons harms that white child just as much as the black kid forced to go to an all-black school. In fact, the black kid forced to go to an all-black school is less harmed because they can go in the neighborhood. And you know, what do we know about Clarence Thomas? Whether or not he got into Yale Law School on affirmative action, we know that he rose very quickly among conservatives precisely because he was black. I defy any Republican with a straight face to say they believed George H.W. Bush when he said that Clarence Thomas was the highest qualified for the position. Even Clarence Thomas on 60 Minutes didn't buy that one. So he's on the court because of affirmative action. As Malin said, they were determined to get a black on that court. But why? Why? Because the only other African-American member of the Supreme Court was Thurgood Marshall, one of my personal heroes, the man who brought about Brown versus Board of Education, the man who, along with Martin Luther King, did more than any other to dismantle Jim Crow. Thurgood Marshall will always be remembered as one of the best Supreme Court justices in American history. And for him to be replaced by the likes of Clarence Thomas, well, it's the kind of thing that makes you nauseous. It wasn't that there weren't well-qualified African-Americans to take that seat. It's that there weren't well-qualified African-American conservatives to take that seat. Because there aren't that many African-American conservative Republicans. Because very few are willing to harm their own families and their own friends and their own legacies and their own histories in order to achieve. Now, obviously, the Republican Party didn't used to be that way. The Republican Party used to be the party of Lincoln. Richard Nixon did the Southern strategy. Lyndon Johnson said when he signed the Civil Rights Bill he was going to harm the Democrats for a generation, and he was right. He did the right thing, but he did harm the Democrats for a generation. And Nixon went and took the George Wallace vote. And it's very, very hard for a black man to do what Clarence Thomas did. What I saw him do just yesterday or Sunday when I watched 60 Minutes and I watched the tapes of him in 1991 walk in the room with Strom Thurmond. Segregationist now and forever, Strom Thurmond. Strom Thurmond, who ran his own candidacy for presidency because Truman and Dewey were both too decent on civil rights for his take. Strom Thurmond, who himself raped a black woman, or I should say a young black girl, his maid, who was 16 when he was 25 and raped her. But Clarence Thomas would walk in and very happily work with Strom Thurmond, whatever it would take. He was 43. He'd been 1 year on the bench. It was time for him to be Supreme Court Justice. 1 year. Who can doubt that Clarence Thomas received affirmative action in getting on the Supreme Court? And who misses the irony? You shouldn't have affirmative action on the U.S. Supreme Court. We didn't need it for Thurgood Marshall. Thurgood Marshall was one of the leading legal scholars of his time, if not the single leading legal scholar of his generation, black or white or whatever. He made radical changes occur in America. He wasn't alone, but let me tell you, you want to know if one person can make a difference? Thurgood Marshall made a difference. He didn't get on the court for affirmative action. And there's a difference between putting someone in place for diversity reasons and putting someone unqualified in place. Thurgood Marshall earned his spot on the court, but he also achieved some good by saying that the Supreme Court should represent America to some extent. Today, the Supreme Court has 5 Catholics out of 9, a majority. Since the majority of America is not Catholic, and I have nothing against Catholics per se, but they don't represent America. America isn't, not that the Supreme Court has to work like a quota. But the irony is that for something like the United States Supreme Court, okay, or for something like the presidency of the United States, and I like Barack Obama, and I'm probably going to vote for him. I'm not voting for Obama because he's black. I'm voting for Obama because he's inspiring, because I like his policies, because I think he could do a lot of good for America. The irony is that you need affirmative action not for the Supreme Court, but for precisely the places that Clarence Thomas doesn't want it to go. You need it for kindergartens, not for the Supreme Court. The place where black kids get a raw deal is when they're kids. Once they are graduates of Yale Law School, you know what? Just let the chips rise or fall where they may. I don't think Clarence Thomas needed or deserved affirmative action after he graduated Yale Law School. We graduates are privileged enough. But when he was a kid in Pinpoint, Georgia, or in kids growing up today in Pinpoint, Georgia, they are getting education today that is separate and unequal. If you grow up in a poor area of this country, black or white, if you grow up poor, you don't get the same public education as if you grow up rich. The public schools in Watts are an hour's drive from the public schools in Beverly Hills, and don't you tell me that the kids are getting the same education. We need affirmative action precisely for children, for Head Start, for exactly the programs that Clarence Thomas would end. We don't need it to be a Supreme Court justice. And so the irony comes full circle. A man who got the kind of affirmative action that I don't support, the kind that we don't need for this United States Supreme Court, is now denying it for the people who need it most. Ordinary Americans who are just struggling not to be put in an unqualified position, but simply to have an equal shot at equal opportunity for all. And that's why it's a very fine wine of Clarence Thomas, but he needs to take that chip on his shoulder, open his eyes, and recognize that his past in Pinpoint, Georgia, is a lot more important than whatever slights he had at Yale Law School. And with that, this is Mark Levine signing off.
This is the Head On Radio Network.
This is the Quality News Network. No progress reported. Following a meeting today between a United Nations envoy and the junta leader of Myanmar, neither side made a comment. The military government of Myanmar put the death toll from the protests at 10. Dissident groups say up to 200 people were killed. The head of Blackwater Security is rejecting charges that his staff was out of order when they opened fire in a crowd, killing 11 Iraqis. Blackwater is being investigated by the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee. Washington lawmakers are taking up legislation today requiring President Bush to show a concrete plan for withdrawal of troops from Iraq. A Washington Post ABC News poll shows only about 25% of Americans support the administration's $190 billion war funding request, while 70% want the proposed allocation reduced. British Prime Minister Gordon Brown is visiting Iraq for the first time. He's meeting with authorities to discuss a drawdown of Britain's 5,000 troops in Iraq's southern province of Basra, 1,000 of them by Christmas. For only the second time in 50 years, the leaders of South and North Korea met today for peace talks. At the top of their agenda, Pyongyang's dismantlement of its nuclear weaponry program. In Canada, a federal judge acquitted three doctors, a Red Cross official, and a U.S. drug maker of criminally infecting Canadians with AIDS and hepatitis C contaminated blood. More than 3,000 Canadians died of the tainted blood in the late 1980s and early 1990s. Well, when it comes to raising money for the presidential campaign, Senator Hillary Clinton leads the way this quarter. Clinton raised $22 million this summer. Senator Barack Obama isn't far behind with $19 million raised from July through September. In Minnesota, opening arguments begin today in the first trial of a consumer accused of copyright violation for illegally sharing songs on a file-sharing network. Madison Square Garden and its chairman were ordered to pay over $11 million to former New York Knicks executive Anuncha Brown Sanders. Sanders sued the company for sexual harassment by Knicks coach Isaiah.